We are keeping an eye on the bills that are really picking up steam, especially because we're down to a week left of the legislative session, wraps up next Wednesday. And apparently House Bill 5003, an act concerning workforce development and working conditions in the state, did get approval by the House, now headed to the Senate for a vote. And in particular, teachers feeling like their voices were heard, because part of this bill looks at fair termination for teachers. And so I wanted to get perspective on this from Kate Diaz, who is the president of the Connecticut Education Association, the largest teachers union in our state, and one of our education experts here on WICC. Kate, welcome back, and tell us a little bit more about this bill and what led to even needing legislation like this.
Sure. So we actually are so grateful for the House that they passed this bill, including this section that allows for our fair termination. And simply put, what it gives us the opportunity to do is challenge a termination in a way that is fair and reasonable. So police and fire have long enjoyed the fact that if you face a termination, you would go to a neutral arbitration to get a binding decision by that arbitration individual, that arbiter. And both sides get to lay their case out, right? Both the employee and the district. And then a neutral party gets to decide what's the fair outcome. And what has gone on in teaching is that we could fight, but the decision wasn't binding. So if we go to an arbitration prior to this bill being passed, the arbiter could say, oh, we're good. You know, the teachers are in the right. And the Board of Ed could go, but we don't care. We're not holding to that decision. And so what we've now done is created a situation in which we just get a neutral arbitration opportunity in a termination so that a third party listens, makes a decision, and it's binding to both parties. And so doing that gives us the opportunity to fairly and impartially kind of just see a termination through when we feel there's been wrongdoing. This doesn't change the fact that sometimes there are terminations that are just and fair and they stand, and we understand that exists. But what it allows us for is to provide challenges in spaces where the termination may not be fair. And the reason this was so important to us is that we've been finding, particularly in the last few years, that teachers have felt like if they were in disagreement with their districts, that they didn't have the opportunity to speak out because they could face termination and there was no way to fight back in a meaningful manner. Because if the district, if you're in conflict with them and you raise an issue, like let's say at a Board of Ed meeting, or maybe even in an op-ed, just making comment on a public matter, that there wasn't an opportunity to speak out because the consequences could be your job.
Right, like retaliation. So I would imagine you guys have great perspective on this. I'd imagine this is where the CEA would come in. I don't know. I mean, is this where you guys would kind of like get those calls, I would think, from teachers who are like, hey, you know, help me out here. I don't feel like I'm being heard. I mean, and I even see, certainly, Kate, you and I have talked about this, where districts, if they're not happy, for example, with superintendents, I know you and I have talked on the air about when you guys do surveys or when you talk to teachers. And that's sort of the right now. I mean, talk about right now, if you didn't have a bill like this in place, What option does a teacher have? Like, what fighting option do they really have if they're trying to outline something, but they don't want to lose their job over it? I would imagine it's you guys.
Yeah. We're really it. And it's why you do see us kind of take the lead on so many issues, because there's concern that if you raise a challenge to your district, that the consequences are dire. So, you know, we've always wanted our members to be front and center, but we've had issues in the past where we wanted, you know, let's say, difficult situations that might occur in the classroom that teachers are dealing with. And they're like, I can't talk about that publicly, because if I talk about it, then I face the potential of termination without a real clear road to fight back. What our legal counsel is very excited about is, instead of having to counsel teachers to leave a district when they face a conflict, we're able to say, listen, if the conflict is not about your performance, if it's about a matter of public comment that you are able to actually legally speak about, we can now protect and defend that teacher in their ability to do that, because we have a binding decision, something that allows both parties to speak and present their position to a neutral individual. And I think for us, that's been really key. And by the way, it's a right that both police and fire have always had. And so for us, this was also a little bit about, hey, if the professions that are male dominated have this right, how come we don't as a female dominated profession? Why is it that we don't get that neutral hearing and the ability to push back and challenge? And so for us, there was an aspect of this that was also about making sure that we had parity with comparable professions.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the big, not to say that male dominated versus female dominated, but I think the big thing, like you said, Kate, is I don't know how when you're in such a public kind of a role. And it's funny, I was just having this conversation earlier with, you know, another guest that's come on the show talking about how I don't understand with certain industries. And again, I'm not saying we have to blanket everybody together, group everybody together. But to me, it's very no-brainer, right? I mean, so to me, I think you've got your cops, your firefighters, your teachers. I'm going to call them your nurses, your doctors, your politicians. These are people who have a direct impact on massive amounts of people. If you're a fire or a police department, you have an impact on your entire town or city. Or if you're state police, you've got it on your state. If you're a teacher, you have impact on the thousands and thousands of students that come into your classroom on a yearly basis, right? So, and you know, same thing with healthcare. And to me, politicians who have a huge role to play in our tax dollars, our decisions, our lawmaking, what have you. I don't understand why, for to me, very logical. So I was just using the example of how if a teacher is being investigated for sexual assault or a police officer is being investigated for an officer involved shooting, they go on leave. And I think to myself, well, why don't we do that for lawmakers? I'm not saying they can't vote, but why do they get to continue having these really big roles on committees, things like that? Why, if they're being investigated for something, why wouldn't they be put on leave? Same sort of thing that you're saying. If you're going to give the opportunity, which they should have, to have fair these fair termination processes, allowing a neutral arbitrator to be there. If you're going to do that for cops and for firefighters, why in the world wouldn't we do it for teachers? It just logically doesn't make sense. That's the basis of it. It just doesn't make sense why we wouldn't give that opportunity.
Well, and certainly that's how we strongly felt. But we faced a good chunk of opposition from our boards of ed and superintendents who felt like, well, we should be able to do what we want to do and not have to justify it in the bottom line.
No, that's not how that works.
And that's where we felt. We were like, and then there was a sort of this illusion that, well, the stakes are really high with teachers, which we agree. We have extraordinary responsibility, but so do police and fire. And so that's where we started to push back and say, we fully respect and understand the significance of our work and really do honor that and are not looking for loopholes or things like that. We're looking for a fair opportunity to defend ourselves and the reality that, especially now where there's a lot of things going on in the world that we should be able to comment on as resident experts, that we don't feel we can because we're bound by this rule that doesn't give us fair voice. And so for us, this was really a moment to stand up and, to your point, say, why wouldn't you want to treat us the same as everybody else? We're not asking for more. We're asking to not be treated as less. And ultimately, that, I think, broke through with our legislature. I think, you know, we really started to make the case that this is just this is about fairness. And how do we ever achieve that if our laws are really favoring one party over the other? And so we're really happy that the House felt this way. We got bipartisan support, and we really felt good about all the work that our teachers did to articulate why this was so important to them. Because while I certainly played chief advocate and big voice, I was backed up by thousands of members who shared their stories and their concerns, and who really took to writing letters, emails, phone calls, showing up at the Capitol, and helping people to understand this matters not just in our termination, but in giving us the freedom to say and do and be the full advocates for our profession that we want to be.
Kate Diaz is here, president of the Connecticut Education Association, the largest teachers union in Connecticut, and we're talking about the House passing on a bipartisan basis House Bill 5003, an act concerning workforce development and working conditions in the state. And part of that bill addresses a fairer termination process for teachers across the state, kind of relating it back to what police and fire get, which is a neutral arbitrator. And I want to first address that, Kate. When we say a neutral arbitrator, who is that? You know, like, who would that person be?
Sure. These are individuals identified who are labor experts, often lawyers. They may come from the labor side. They may come from the municipal side, but they're approved by a labor department process to serve as an impartial, basically like a judge in a situation where we come through and both the management side and the labor side present their case, if you will, like what the things that we felt would need to be considered, whether or not due process was followed, what maybe were some of the factors leading into the termination. And then the neutral arbitrator has the responsibility of kind of weighing both arguments and determining, you know, was this a fair process? If they say the process wasn't fair, then we kind of go back to with the district and determine what's the right, you know, outcome. Does a person go back immediately to their same placement? Would they go into a different role perhaps or a different room? And we would begin the process of saying, okay, well, what's the right redress of this scenario? But the neutral arbitrator does the weighing of the evidence, basically, to determine what's the appropriate recourse in that situation.
And the reason I asked who that person would be, just so people can understand it, is so that they know that it's not necessarily, because to your point, opponents who were specifically kind of more higher ups, I would imagine superintendents, Board of Ed, for example, if they didn't like the idea of this, in the idea of, well, you know, kind of what we think is enough to make that kind of a determination. Now this sort of puts more favor on the teacher. That's not necessarily true, right? I mean, this is somebody who is a neutral party. So they may very well sit at the table and be like, no, this is justified. You're out. I mean, right.
100%.
That's why I wanted to, you know, define that for people.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important to know that we take that arbitration process very, very seriously. And we evaluate our evidence as critically as well. And we don't bring everything forward to arbitration because, as I said, there are times where the outcome is what it is justified and it's viable. And what we're not looking for is every single incident goes to arbitration. What we're looking for is the truly egregious things that come up to really be able to present the case. And that isn't 100 a year. You know, this is a handful a year that we would go to an arbitration process and say, listen, we think something really egregious. And I also think that it's important to remember that the process also protects the practice on a day-to-day basis. Mm. Because, you know, knowing that we can go to a neutral arbitration process often puts everybody on notice that make sure what you're doing passes the arbitration test. So it often prevents things from happening. And that's what we are also fighting for, is that preventative kind of action, recognizing that don't do this because then we can take it to arbitration. Mm. And that would be crazy. And so for us, knowing that we have that backstop is an empowering opportunity. And I can, you know, recently, you remember when Linda McMahon was coming into Fairfield?
Yes.
We had teachers reach out to us and they wanted to speak out because this is a matter of public interest and concern. How, you know, what is going to go on in those schools? What is she bringing into the classrooms? And our teachers basically said to us, I don't know how we talk out about this when the invitation for her to come was from the superintendent. So now we're in conflict with our superintendent. What if he chooses that this is a big issue and now I have to face a termination or some sort of challenge? This is what this really does is allows them to say, I know that wouldn't pass the arbitration test. So I'm going to speak out knowing that if something happened to me, I could fight back legitimately.
Right.
And for us, that's the difference maker.
Well,
and honestly,
I think that's a really good example, Kate, because I think people need to know real life examples where it, you know, it was in the mm-hmm. news. I know for myself, it was in the fall of 2024 or maybe it was before that, when you guys did the teacher survey in Bridgeport. I mean, and the findings were,
right.
I mean, that they were awful in regards to the former superintendent of schools. And after that had happened, you know, I sat down, you know, off hours from school hours, obviously, but also from WICC. you know, in a private location, did not disclose where it was, who was coming, did not name anybody. But we had 24 teachers show up, and they're all sharing this testimony with me. And I said to them, I'll never forget, why don't you say something? You guys have the numbers. And they all kind of, you could feel the temperature in the room. We can't. What do you mean you want us to say something? I'm like, you guys outnumber like 100-1. I don't understand. And they're like, we can't. And it didn't even matter the numbers that they had. It didn't matter. There was this fear of, I need this job more than my feelings, essentially. And so we'll tell you, but you can't say our names. You can't say what school. You can't.
Right.
It was unbelievable to me. It was wild to me.
And it is. And it's really linked to this statute, this idea that even if we're right, we could have fought to the finish line and still lose. And so it had the chilling effect on educators. And you're right, it didn't matter. We had the same thing happen in Norwich when we had the issue with the superintendent. Teachers were terrified to speak out. They were just absolutely terrified because they're like, I'm speaking out about the very person who could absolutely move to terminate me because I'm speaking out. And so I think people don't realize how much of a chilling effect it has to say, listen, we can do this in kind of an arbitrary way. And while, you know, I'll be honest, it's not that it happens a million times, but how many, the threat of it is enough.
Exactly.
You know, people need their jobs.
Right. Exactly. Well, and quite frankly, Kay, in a time where we do have a teacher shortage, maybe not in every district, but I think teachers now more than ever want to know that, you know, maybe they can't get the money that they would like to or some of the other investments, but if they could have at least the dignity and the respect and just the recognition of, hey, you know, we've got your back. We're going to at least make this a fair process if things don't go the right way. I think knowing that their well-being also matters, it doesn't hurt. It certainly doesn't. Kay Diaz, I want to thank you so much for talking about this. Again, House Bill 5003. We're going to put the language with Kate's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com, if you would like to read more about it and understand it better. It now moves to the Senate for a vote.